The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment.
Many confuse the rapture and the second coming. Some think it's two names for the same thing. Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie clarifies.
The rapture is when Jesus comes for his people. The second coming, he returns again with his people. I've got good news for you. You're going to have that Holy Land experience, but you're not going to do it in a bus. You're going to do it with the Lord himself.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Driven down a dark, foggy road at night. Your headlights only show what's right in front of you. It's unsettling. What dangers lie just beyond your field of vision? Many believers think of Bible prophecy that way. They have a foggy, unsettling uncertainty of what's to come. Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps clear the fog as we get a clear view of what's to come by way of today's message, Antichrist, Armageddon, and the Second Coming.
So let's dive into this mysterious character, the Antichrist. Who is he exactly? Well, first of all, he is sent by Satan himself. He is an imitator. Consider this, the prefix anti not only means against, and certainly the Antichrist is against Christ, but it also means instead of. He's a false Christ. Remember in Matthew 24, as Jesus is answering the question, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? He said, many will come in my name saying, I am he. I am the Messiah. And that's who the Antichrist is. He's a false Messiah. And some will even believe he is the Messiah. He's a cheap imitation. Let's read a little bit about this curious character in Revelation 13, verse 1. John writes, now John was banished to the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel. And Jesus came to him and gave him a vision. It's as though John was put into a spiritual time machine and catapulted into the future. Now, I don't know if it was a DeLorean or not, but seriously, he saw the future. And he describes what he saw in this great book, Revelation. He writes in Revelation 13, verse 1, I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth was like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads was mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who will make war with him? Wow, interesting scene. So here we have the Antichrist emerging, and he is again defying God and attempting to take the place of Christ. And it says in verse 1, he has a blasphemous name. He'll be a great orator, a great communicator, but he's coming in opposition to God. Probably not at first. At first, he'll seem very conciliatory. At first, he'll seem like a wonderful person, but then his true agenda will be revealed and he will specifically target followers of Jesus Christ. Revelation 13:7 says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And he also is going to dominate the globe. Revelation 13:7 says, authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. But again, I emphasize, the way he fools people is through peace. The Bible says, through peace, he will deceive many. But then people will realize how evil he actually is. He'll be the devil's son, as I already pointed out. And I think sometimes in life we get pulled into evil things because the devil is very good at packaging his wares. He's great at making bad things look good. He's also adept at making good things seem bad. And so we sort of buy what he's offering and we get pulled into it, hook, line, and sinker. And then he chews us up and he spits us out. Oh, look how exciting drugs can look, drinking can look, partying can look, sexual experimentation can look. And then fast forward a few years and you have an addict, you have an alcoholic, you have a person with some kind of venereal disease or other issues, and they realize how empty it all is. And that's what the world is going to realize. Antichrist will come as the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then he'll show who he really is. And maybe some of you have been misled by the devil. You've been taken advantage of. He's chewed you up and spit you out. And you've come to the end of your rope. There's someone watching me right now that has even thought about taking their own life. There's someone watching me right now who has attempted to take their own life. And I want you to know, no matter how bad things are for you right now, there is a God in heaven who loves you. And the Lord is an expert at putting broken things back together. And I'll tell you how to come into a relationship with him in just a few moments. Another thing I would point out, Antichrist will establish global control through a cashless society. Revelation 13:7 says, no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark and the name of the beast. And this is the number of his name. Let him that has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and it's 666. Just about everybody understands this number, or at least they know of this number. I don't think they understand it. But this is the mark of the beast. If you Google the number 666, you'll find 543 million results and probably 543 million ideas of what it all means. But here's what the scripture is saying. Antichrist will introduce a cashless society requiring people to take a mark. No one will be able to buy or sell without this mark. Now, there are some alarming trends happening in tech right now that cause some to say, is this going to be the mark of the beast with all of our track and trace technology where we know where people are and controlling their lives and how you can do commerce and transactions exclusively online now and the rise of globalism. We can see the foreshocks of it. But let me emphasize again, don't waste your time looking for the Antichrist. In fact, let me add this. If you have figured out who the Antichrist is, that's bad news because he can't be revealed until the church is removed. So if you know who the Antichrist is, newsflash, you just missed the rapture. So let's not waste our time pursuing these things. These are future events. The mark is future. It's not in our past and it's not yet in our present. It will be a visible, literal mark that will be on the right hand or forehead, and one will have to declare their allegiance to the Antichrist to receive it. You would not get it accidentally. In fact, the Bible even tells us in Revelation that there's an angel warning people not to take the mark of the beast. And so all of this culminates, this great tribulation period. Everything's building up in the time of the tribulation, the last 7 years, to the battles of Armageddon. And then this event is going to happen, and it's found in Revelation 19, verses 11 to 14. John writes, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one can name except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. This is the description of the second coming of Jesus Christ. This, folks, is Air Horse One. right. The Lord is coming back to planet Earth to establish his kingdom, and everyone will know. So some will not say, was that the second coming or just a really bad storm? Oh, no. You'll know it's a second coming. Jesus said, as a lightning shines from the east to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The return of Jesus Christ will be accompanied by sadness and weeping. Yes, it's a happy day for heaven, but it's a sad day for earth. Specifically, Israel will mourn as they realize Jesus was their Messiah all along. Zechariah 12:10 says, I'll pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem, and they'll look on him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who had died, him they had pierced. You remember Jesus died by being crucified on a cross. All the wrongs in the world are going to be made right. Justice will finally be meted out.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Coming Labor Day weekend, a rush of hope for the first time, an online cinematic harvest crusade. It looks like a movie, it sounds like a concert, and it offers answers like a harvest crusade with Greg Laurie.
We're living in hopeless times. Don't you think people could use a rush of hope?
With exclusive performances by Mercy Me.
What if I were the one to tell you that the fight's already
for king and country. Jeremy Camp.
Keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open.
A rush of hope with Greg Laurie.
I'm going to answer questions like, why am I here? What is the meaning of my life? And what happens after I die? Christ has the answer.
It's a rush of hope with Greg Laurie, an epic online event coming to a screen near you. Details at harvest.org.
So tell a friend, it's coming your way, Labor Day weekend. It's a rush of hope.
Well, Pastor Greg is offering a detailed look at the Antichrist today from his series, End Times, Living Like Jesus Will Return at Any Moment. Let's continue.
Now, I think it's very important to stop for a moment and contrast the rapture and the second coming, because sometimes people confuse these two events. So let me put them side by side and explain it. The rapture is when Jesus comes before judgment. The second coming is when he returns with judgment. In the rapture, he comes as a thief in the night. In the second coming, every eye will see him. The rapture, he comes for his people. In the second coming, he returns again with his people. I've got good news for you. Maybe some of you have wished you could take a trip to Israel. Well, you're going to have that Holy Land experience, but you're not going to do it in a bus. You're going to do it with the Lord himself, because we read that he returns with these armies. And we're told over in Jude 14 that the Lord will come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Who are these saints that return with Christ back to the earth? The answer is Colossians 3. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. Good news, folks. We're coming back and riding horses too. I don't know if you like to ride horses. I heard about a preacher that got a horse, but instead of using secular terms like giddy up and whoa, he decided to substitute praise the Lord for giddy up and hallelujah for woe. So the preacher got in his horse and he said, praise the Lord. And the horse trotted off. Praise the Lord, he said again. Now the horse is in a full gallop. Praise the Lord. The horse is going at full steam. He's having a great time. But he realizes the horse is headed toward the edge of a cliff. The preacher's saying, wait, what's the word for stop? Whoa, horse is still going. Oh, no. Thank you, Jesus. Horse is getting toward the edge of the cliff now. Hallelujah. And the horse stops right at the edge of the cliff. A few little pebbles are going over the side. The preacher wipes his face and says, praise the Lord. He went over the side, right? You get the joke. Okay. But seriously, though, we're going to come back with Jesus. This is very exciting. I want you to think about the first coming of our Lord and the second coming of our Lord. When Jesus first came, of course, he was a little baby wrapped in strips of cloth in a manger. When he comes back again, he'll be clothed royally in a robe dipped in blood. At his first coming, he was surrounded by animals and shepherds. At his second coming, he'll be accompanied by saints and angels. At his first coming, the door of the inn was closed to him. At his second coming, the door of the heavens will be open to him. In the first coming, he was the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. In the second coming, he's the ferocious lion of the tribe of Judah bringing judgment to the earth. And this is that moment that the Bible speaks of when it says, every eye will see and every tongue will confess and every knee will bow saying Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Summation, Jesus is coming. Remember when we were kids and we played hide and seek? You would count to 20, and then he would shout out, ready or not, here I come. Then he would go look for other people. The Lord is effectively saying, ready or not, here I come. Let me ask you, are you ready? What if Jesus came back today? Now, he would not come back in the second coming today, because as we already discovered, that's at the end of the tribulation period, right? But he could come in the rapture of the church for his followers today, tonight, tomorrow. Would you be ready or would you be left behind? Well, that is entirely up to you. You see, as I said before, you will either get right or get left. And I don't mean that politically. When I say get right, you will either get right with God or you will be left behind. Some of you have chased after the things this world offers and you've ended up so empty. You know, it's interesting. Antichrist is not just speaking of a figure, a man that will come on the scene, but the Bible talks about those who are antichrist in their lifestyles. And these are people that don't have time for Jesus Christ. Or these are people that put other things or people in the place of Jesus Christ. So here's the choice before you. You are either following Jesus Christ or Antichrist. Jesus said, you're for me or against me. When I heard those words years ago as a young teenager, I looked around at the Christians that I was with in a little Bible study on the front lawn of my high school campus. And the preacher who was named Lonnie said, you're either for Jesus or against him. I looked at the other kids and I thought, well, I'm not one of them. Does that mean that I'm against God? That was a very frightening thought to me, and I was. But that was also the day I gave my life to Jesus. And when I say gave my life to Jesus, I simply mean that was the day I said to God, I believe what I read and what I know. I want to know you. Come into my life. And he did. And he'll come into your life as well. Question, do you like puzzles? I don't. I have no interest in puzzles. I have no desire to get a puzzle out and put it back together again. Frankly, to me, it seems like a waste of time. In contrast to me, my wife, Kathy, loves puzzles. So one day she was putting a puzzle together and it was completed. And I was upstairs and she yells out, Greg, I said, what? She said, I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. Help me find it. So I came downstairs and sure enough, she had completed this entire puzzle and there was one piece missing. So we're on our hands and knees and we're crawling around on the floor trying to find it. We finally found it under the chair, the missing piece, and she put it in place. Life can be like that. You check all the boxes. You reach all your goals. You know, if I just complete my education, I know I'll be happy. And you say, well, if I just get that dream job, I know I'll be happy. Well, if I just find the right person to marry, I know I'll be happy. Then you say, if I could just find another person to marry, I know I'll be happy. Well, if we had kids, that would complete us. Well, if I could retire, that would be the ultimate goal. And on you go in life, never quite finding what you're looking for. It's like a puzzle you're putting together. And guess what? There's a piece missing. But it's not under a chair. It's in the hand of God. God holds the missing piece. And you know what it is? Let me restate it. Do you know who it is? It's Jesus. That's who you're looking for. That's who you want. And that is who you need. Jesus Christ coming into your life and forgiving you of your sin. Yes, he was born in a manger. in Bethlehem. But why? So we could go shopping and give gifts to each other? No, he was born to die that we might live. That little baby came on a rescue mission from heaven to go to a cross and die for your sin and mine, then to rise again from the dead. And he promises he'll come again. And I ask you right now, have you asked him to come into your life? You see, there was no room for him in the inn. I wonder if there's room for him in your heart. I wonder if there's room for him in your life. You can have a relationship with God. Listen, folks, we live in a scary world, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get darker. But if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, you do not have to be afraid. Remember, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, one of his disciples, was there. And he said, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And Jesus said in response, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, God's Son who died on the cross for you. God's Son who stands at the door of your life right now and knocks and says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you want Christ to come into your life, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that you will go to heaven when you die, if you want to be ready for the Lord's return, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. You can pray it out loud if you like. You can pray it quietly in your heart if you like. But pray. Jesus is just a prayer away. Pray this after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you are the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. Now I choose to follow you, Lord, from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important closing prayer with those making a change in their relationship with the Lord today. And if you have just prayed along with Pastor Greg and asked Jesus to be your Savior, we'd like to help you get started by sending something called the New Believer's Growth Packet. It'll answer many of the questions you might have and get you started in your walk with God. Just ask for our New Believer's Growth Packet as you write a new beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. It was a calm spring morning in the Western Pacific. 12 men aboard a World War II bomber were preparing for their mission as they flew at 1,500 feet above the water. Author John Irwin says, then something dreadful happened.
The morning was April 12th, 1945. My grandfather, radio operator on board a B-29 Super Fortress, disoriented, was trying to understand what had happened because a bomb made of phosphorus that was spewing everywhere on the plane and filled the plane with smoke and sent the plane into a dive, was rolling around the plane just in front of him. And he had a choice to make in that moment. The choice that he made would come to be the defining moment of his life and be a moment that would define my life as well as his grandson.
Well, John describes that riveting event in his new book called Beyond Valor, a book he's been researching for some 15 years. It was about this moment of unbridled heroism for which his grandfather would receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. The plane was going down. No one could see because of the smoke in the cockpit. Red Irwin actually picked up the bomb while it was spewing 2,000-degree phosphorus and carried it all the way to the front of the plane and threw it out the only window that would open, saving everyone on the plane. You need to read this book, and we'll let you know how to get a copy of Beyond Valor in just a moment. John Irwin's with us today. John, your grandfather survived in spite of his devastating burns and went on to enjoy a very full life, passing away in 2002. If you could ask your grandfather one question, what would it be?
Man, I would listen to his stories and I would be interested in his answer to how did you do this? How did you grab that bomb and walk me through that moment of decision for you? Because I would aspire to be a person that would make the right choice in a similar moment. And, you know, you ask yourself that question, am I, you know, does that DNA, is it passed down? And so I would ask him about that moment. And I think the question that I would ask him to do is tell me a few of his stories. And I would really listen, which I didn't do. I was a teenager involved in other things and thinking about other things. And so it would either be asking about making that moment of decision or just asking him to tell me a few stories and really sit there and intently listen. I wish I could go back and do that.
Well, I think you've more than made up for it, John, and I think your grandfather would be really proud of the fact that you went out and sought out his old buddies and got the story, and now you're sharing it with others. You know, I was just thinking the other day, old people are our young people who have just lived longer. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, I'd look at old people, really old people, and I would actually think, this is a child, of course. Where do these people come from? It's, you know, and then one day you wake up and you're one of them. I speak from experience because I don't feel like an old person, but I am an older person now. And I think a lot of times we look at older folks and we see that maybe they're not as mobile as they used to be, or they're having the challenges that will come to everyone in time. But what we fail to see is they have all of that wisdom, hopefully. Now, look, not all old people are filled with wisdom. Mm-hmm. There are some people that literally have wasted their lives. But then there are those that have lived wonderful, interesting, important lives, and there's so much to learn from them. And I hope someone listening to me right now will take time to learn your family history from your grandparents or even great-grandparents if they're still living. But John has taken that to the next level as he's researched the story of his grandfather, Henry Red Irwin, and he's put it down in a powerful book that you can now get for yourself and read this amazing story. The book is called Beyond Valor. It's a story of a true American hero, but also it's a story of a man who was motivated by his faith. And the last thing he said to his grandson, or at least the last thing his grandson, John, remembered in their conversation was he quoted Jesus in John 14:6, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Because of the sacrifice of Henry Irwin, many people are alive today, and so this is a story you need to hear, and it will inspire you and encourage you as well.
Yeah, that's right. John is a master storyteller. Of course, he's the director of movies like I Can Only Imagine and I Still Believe. And in this book, he tells the story of his own grandfather in a way that makes Red Irwin's heroism and his faith come alive. And we'd like to send Beyond Valor your way to thank you for your donation. It's an investment that helps us continue to bring Pastor Greg's studies to you each day. If you value the insight you receive, we hope you'll play an important role in helping these studies continue. When you send your contribution, be sure to ask for the book Beyond Valor. And we can only mention this book a short time longer, so get in touch right away. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg brings us an epic-sized dose of encouragement as we look at God's plan for eternity and just what life will be like in the hereafter. Tune in again next time for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.